This is another inspirational message from Bethany Assembly in Agawam, Massachusetts.
You know, we've been talking about Jesus is coming again. How many of you know he's coming? He promised he's going to come. We're his bride. He promised he's coming back for his bride. He's the bridegroom. And Satan really doesn't want us to understand who we are. And we're in a world that's constantly being bombarded. We're constantly under attack by everything you can think of. And Satan is trying to keep us from understanding who we really are. And I think the difference between a victorious Christian and a defeated one is not simply that one has the Holy Spirit and the other one doesn't. I think the difference between a victorious Christian and a defeated one is that a victorious Christian understands who he or she really is. They know that they've been born again from another world, that they are related to God, that they are part of God's family, and that the Spirit of God resides within them. They are no longer from this world, but they are actually born again from another world. You see, we have this relationship with God that is rather unique, that the world hates God, so they're going to hate us because of a relationship that we have with God. We are born of his Spirit. That's what the Bible tells us very clearly. In John chapter 3 and verse 15, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit." So we have to be born of the Spirit, and when you believe who Jesus is, you invite him, you receive him into your life, you are born not from your mother, not from your own human willpower, not from just simply a decision you make, but all of a sudden the Spirit of God enters into you and become part of the family of God. You're born of the Spirit. See, we've been looking now at our relationship with God so we understand who we are. So first of all, he helps us understand by the Holy Spirit coming into our spirit, bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. He bears witness that we've become part of the family. We are even called by his name in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. It says, "So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." This is the first place that believers were called after the name of Jesus Christ. They were called Christians. Now, names are very significant. In the Bible, they're very significant because we find that God changed Abram's name to Abraham when he made a covenant with Abraham. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. God changed their names. When he did, he changed everything about them. He changed their character. And we find that names are so important even from the beginning of time, because God told Adam, "I want you to name all of the creatures in the earth." And Adam named every single one of them according to their character. According to the character he saw in the animals, Adam named them. So the name Christian was given to people who believe in Jesus Christ, and it became their identity with Jesus. They're identified as being with Christ Jesus. Christians, born of this Spirit. And people knew who they were because they were Christians. You see, this relationship with God is so vitally important for us to understand. We're not only called by his name, the Bible says we're clothed with his power from on high. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power." Power! Power! That's it, power. Power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Where does that power come from? On high. It comes from heaven. It comes from God. He gives you power, ability to act, gives you strength, energy, wisdom. He gives you the motivation to be a witness, to tell people about Jesus. We're looking at a relationship that we have with Christ, with God. We're born of his Spirit, called by his name, clothed with his power. We wear what God wears, his righteousness. You see, God has this white robe, and when Jesus was glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration, you couldn't even look at his robe. God in heaven wears this white that is so bright you can't see him with your eyes. It'll burn your eyes out. He's just so bright. Now, I know some churches were going casual. Some churches are. Now, look at this platform. Nobody's casual up here. But I want you to know, clothing is not as important as being clothed with righteousness. That's the most important thing. But I want you to know at Bethany, clothing is not something that's optional. You have to wear something. So we need to be clothed with His righteousness. That's the most important part. We produce the fruit of His Spirit. How many of you like fruit? I love fruit. And being in Asia, some of the best mangoes come from Cebu, from the Philippines, great mangoes. Amen. They're just delicious. Pineapples from Hawaii. I love a good pineapple, but when you get them sometime in the store, they're not quite what they should be. You buy one in Hawaii, fabulous. Durian from Malaysia. If you've never eaten durian, you haven't lived. It's absolutely the most horrible smelling thing in the world, but it tastes great if you can get past the smell. Kiwi from Australia. I mean, I know it's lunchtime and you're getting ready to have lunch and it's just delicious. And strawberries, oranges from California or Florida, and apples from Atkins Farms, they're all delicious. We love fruit. And as Christians, we get an opportunity to produce the fruit of the Spirit. People in the world are hungry for good fruit. For love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and all those things that please God, we're able to produce this kind of fruit in our life. And like Him, we give these gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have in Christ, rise and walk. So we are able to give these gifts of the Spirit through our life in other tongues. And as the oracles of God, we speak what God speaks. When we speak under the anointing of the Spirit and the gifts flow. We have the mind of Christ. We rest in His rest. He grants sleep to those that He loves. We inhabit the world with His fragrance. If it wasn't for Christians, this world would have fallen apart a long time ago. We are the glue that holds things together because of Jesus. He manifests Himself through us. And to understand who we are and how we are related to Jesus is the difference between powerlessness and powerfulness. To understand that you and I are no longer of this world. And I want to read in John chapter 17 and verse number 14. Notice what Jesus says. I have given them your word and the world has hated them. Why does the world hate you? Why does the world hate Christians? It despises Christians, and He gives us the answer here. It's because Christians are not of this world anymore. Then I am of the world. So Jesus says, you're not of the world, just like I am not of this world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. The evil one's out there to destroy, to kill, to rob, to do anything he can. But Jesus is praying for our protection. Why? Because we become one with Him. We are no longer of this world now. We become born again from another world. And so He says, I'm praying for you. And in verse 16, He says again, they are not of the world. Now we know whenever Jesus said anything, it was important. But notice with me, just in two verses, Jesus says something twice. He doesn't say it just once. He wants us to understand how important it is for us to understand this, that they are not of this world. He says it again, even as I am not of this world. So He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I'm going to send them into the world. For them I sanctified myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. It's accomplished in Christ Jesus. This is what He's done for us. My prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, and may they also be in us. You see, the character of Christ is within us. Our nature has been changed. We have been unified and made part of the body of Christ. We used to be part of this world. But now, born again from another world, we become part of that world, and our character changes, our nature changes, and we're united with Christ, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. That's how the people can understand, because our nature is completely changed from theirs, because we're more like Jesus than they are. And so they begin to see that there's something different about you as a Christian, because we become like Him, so that the world may believe that you have sent me and I have given them glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. The Bible tells us that God is a spirit. It's very clear that when he looks to and fro on the earth, the first thing he does not see is the color of your hair this week. That's not the first thing he sees. He doesn't see the dress you have on, the tie you're wearing. He sees your spirit first, because God is a spirit. And if he were to look at you right now, he would see your spirit first, and he'd see this flesh as a cloak for your spirit. You see, if you look in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 5, Jesus says, "A sacrifice, an offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me." God prepared a body for Jesus. The body is a cloak for the spirit. God is a spirit. Jesus was the me long before he had a body. He's the Almighty God, all-powerful God, member of the Godhead. And he took upon himself the form of a man. And God understands us best from the spirit out. God doesn't see the weaknesses of our flesh first. That's not what he sees. He sees the strength of our spirit, that we understand who we are in Christ Jesus. But when Satan comes, what is the first thing he does? He points out the weaknesses of our flesh. That's the first thing he does, is he comes and he starts pointing out how weak we are, because it's Satan's absolute business to make us first earth conscious, body conscious, and flesh conscious before we are spirit conscious. But it's God's absolute business to make us spirit conscious before we're body conscious. Look how this works in the scriptures. Adam is created in likeness, in the image of God. Adam communed with God. God came down in the cool and the breath of the day, the Bible says, and they fellowshiped together, Adam and God. And the Bible states that Adam and Eve at that particular time were naked and they were not ashamed. Why? They weren't body conscious. They weren't self-conscious. They were not earth conscious. They were spirit conscious. Now, as a grandfather, I've seen a great example of this. You take my little grandson, if you're changing him on the table, 2 years old, all of a sudden, he gets naked, runs right out in the middle of the room. He'll run right out. Look at me! See? But a 16-year-old girl does that. There's a whole nother motive at work. Now, she's earth conscious. She's body conscious. She's self-conscious. And something else is now working behind the scene. You see, the Bible says they were naked and they were not ashamed. Then they ate of the forbidden fruit. They lost their God consciousness and they became self-conscious. They became body conscious until God had to come down in the day and say, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam says, "We hid ourselves. We were naked and we were ashamed." Adam lost his affinity with God, his relationship with God. It was broken, and he became body conscious, self-conscious, earth conscious. Sin and any major of sin and Satan, any major of Satan's activity has only one goal. That's to make you think that you're a creature of this world, to make you think that you're an earth dweller, that you dwell on this earth and that's all there is. Live, get everything you can and just live however you want to live, because this is it for you. That's what Satan wants you to think. Isn't it peculiar that when Jesus comes on the scene, he talks about a whole nother dimension? When they ask him to pray, he says, "Our Father, which art in heaven." When he begins his ministry, there's a dove that comes from heaven. And there's a voice that comes from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son." And over again, Jesus states that the works that I do, they're not my works, they're the works of my Father, which is in heaven. These are the deeds of my Father, which is in heaven. I am from my Father, who is in heaven. He had a constant revelation that he was not of this world. Therefore, he was not limited by anything of this world. I want you to know that God's plan for us is to understand who we really are. That when Christ comes into our life, we are born of his spirit and we are no longer of this world. And that delivers us from any of the limitations of this world. It sets us free. And it's more than just something we have to believe. It's what we really are. I am not of this world anymore. Either that's the truth or Jesus is a liar. He says it twice to help us to understand in just two verses that we are no longer of this world anymore. So when Jesus splits this atom of God's eternal purposes and he releases this explosive understanding of who we really are, he says, they are no longer of this world. I want you to say it. We are not of this world. Say it with me. We are not of this world. Say it again. We are not of this world. Now put it in the first person. I am not of this world. Now look at the person next to you and say it again. I am not of this world. Ha ha. You always knew there was something peculiar about that person next to you. There it is. You see, it was Jesus' position in God that made him absolutely fearless of anything in this world. It was his knowable relationship with the other world that gave him power to draw upon the other world. And I've said it before, and I have to say it again, that it's Satan's plan to keep you present world conscious. If he can do it through your circumstances, he'll keep your finances in a mess. And as long as you try to work out your finances with present world abilities, he's trapped you. That's one of the reasons why the best way to grow spiritually and to understand who you really are is to begin a stewardship process where you put God first with your giving, because that snaps this financial problem that people have when you begin to tithe and you begin to put God first. It sets you free. Because Satan wants to put your finances in a mess to keep you constantly thinking about present world situations, everything around you. As long as you try to work it out with your own abilities, he's going to trap you. All he has to do is keep your finances in a turmoil, and you'll always be present world conscious. If he can do it through your human flesh consciousness, he brings all kinds of health problems your way. He'll constantly be doing things like causing you to have heart problems, bladder problems, everything to keep you flesh conscious. And Satan wins the victory by helping you stay flesh conscious and self-conscious. But if you understand that you are not of this world, that breaks the back of Satan. Then whatever happens in your circumstances doesn't rule you. But now the power from the other world rules the circumstances in your life. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There's a freedom that gives you. You see, God has always had a plan for our life. Because we're not of this world, we produce the fruit of the Spirit. All these wonderful fruits, love, joy, peace, these kinds of things, things that build character, patience, and meekness. A person who's not of this world is able to do things like love an enemy. I mean, you have to have some special kind of love to love an enemy. You have to have a special kind of love to love an unlovely husband. He does this for us. Because we're not of this world, we're motivated by the eternal. You see, time in God's presence is more important than anything for us. We want to spend time in his presence. That's why we come to church. We don't look at our watches when the preacher's preaching. We want him to preach forever. I know that one's not true, right? Because we're not of this world, we are disciplined people. Undisciplined people live for themselves. They live for only themselves. They do what they want to do. They act like they want to act. But a disciplined person prefers the will of God to flow through their life. Because we're not of this world, we're more worshipful than religious. We love to worship. The great evidence that we're not of this world is that we become bold when we come into worship. We come and we worship boldly into the kingdom. We come with a vengeance to worship. You see, the devil has to be invited, but we just come in and just praise the Lord because we're his children. Because we're not of this world, we're more holy than sinful. The church is to be a church of holiness. Can I hear an amen? We've been washed by a precious blood of Jesus. We have to understand that God has always had this plan for us. And his plan is that we know who we are, that we're not of this world. Now, why is this so important, especially today? especially in the hour that we are living in. In Luke chapter 21 and 25, it says this: there'll be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish, perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. Men will faint for terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. Even the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is coming. Jesus is coming. Get ready. Jesus is coming. Again, why is this so important for us in the day that we're living in today? Today, with our means of communications, you can get news 24 hours a day. Fox News, CBN, BBC, NBC, 24 hours, phone, televisions, everything. 24 hours a day to keep you earth conscious. Famines that are happening all around the world, earthquakes that are taking place, wars, rumors of wars, to keep us present world conscious. But hear what the Lord says. When you see these things begin to happen, get a hold on your head. Make it to be superimposed by that which is not of this world. Understand who you really are, that these things don't affect you. Amen. The power from the other world rules the circumstances in your life. Get a hold on yourself, because our generation has more stuff pumped into their heads than any other generation that has ever lived. We have instant communication everywhere, constantly, to keep us present world conscious. And God tells us that His plan for us, especially in the days that we live in, that we must understand who we really are, because our Savior is coming soon. And everything that's going to happen, we need to keep our focus that Jesus is coming. Whatever happens in the world, it doesn't rule us. We keep our focus. We understand who we are. This is just the place we're traveling through. We're on our way to heaven. We're on our way to a wonderful, wonderful existence for eternity and a divine plan for our lives. You see, whatever happens in the world doesn't rule us, because we have this understanding of who we really are, and the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. When we're in a service like this, there is no limit to what God can do because of our position in Christ, because of our knowable relationship with the Spirit. It opens the windows of heaven. God can speak to us. The Holy Spirit can minister to us. God can deliver you. God can set you free. God can take the irritations out of your life. God can bring you to a place of exaltation where you just are so excited about who you are in Christ Jesus. And the Spirit just moves in our life, and the blessings of the Lord, the windows of heaven open, the doors swing wide open. And when you begin to understand what God has done in your life and the marvelous grace, that's why Peter says you hold the keys to the kingdom of God. And that's why we must decide, what came first? Was it the world, or was it the Word of God? What came first, the world or the Word? If we understand that the Word came first, we're no longer of this world. We now belong to what came first. Hallelujah. The living Word alive in us. When Jesus says you're not of this world, it was the Word that spoke that into your heart so that you might know who you really are. Because when we fall away from what Jesus says we are, or who Jesus says we are, we're departing from His Word. We cannot depart from His Word. Because when you depart from His Word, you're departing from the very image of creation on who God says you are. You'll fall. When men fall from the Word, they fall and they no longer become men. When women fall from the Word, they no longer become women. When families fall from the Word, they no longer become families. Fathers no longer become fathers. As believers, we have to stand on the word that was preached, the word that was spoken. We stand on the word and understand that we are not of this world anymore. Now, I've been speaking to you as Christians because I believe Jesus is coming back soon. We need to understand who we really are because of all that Satan's going to do to try to get our minds in a tiff, in a turmoil, where we don't really understand who we really are. And God wants us to stand and believe. And it's more than that. It's what we really are. Because Jesus said it so. So, Father, I want to thank you for this word that goes out that would protect us from the evil one, to protect us and our minds from the enemy who would come in to try to destroy what you have done in our life. We thank you, Lord, that we have become one in you. And we thank you, Lord, that you're continually praying for us, just like we want to pray for anyone that's in this room right now who's not sure that they're a Christian, not sure that their sins have been forgiven, that they're in this room right now and the Holy Spirit's tugging on their hearts because they've never asked Christ to come into their life. And this is their moment that the Holy Spirit is saying, I want you to be born from another world. I want you to come into the kingdom of God at this very moment. This is your hour. If you're here today and you know that you need Christ, you need to ask him to forgive you your sins, I want you to slip your hand up and say, Pastor, that's me. It's going to take courage on your part. Anyone here like that? Raise your hand quickly. Not sure. Thank you for that hand, ma'am. Anybody else in the back? Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you for that hand in the back. Anybody else? This is for you. The Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart. Four people have raised their hands. Would you mind standing where you are? And as soon as you stand, we're going to pray for you. Those of you that raised your hand, just stand right where you are. And that's the rest of you. Would you stand with them so they're not embarrassed? Thank you. Stand with them so they're not embarrassed. We want to pray this prayer. Thank you for standing. Thank you for responding. Now let's pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you this afternoon, and I ask for your grace. I recognize my sin, but I recognize that your blood is more powerful. And that it washes away sins. So the best way I know how, I open my heart. And I invite you to come into my life. Would you change me? Make me to become a new creation. Part of your family. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I confess you with my mouth. My heart believes in you. I put my trust in you. Thank you. For hearing this simple prayer. And coming into my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap offering, can you? Pastor Tim, lead us.
Oh, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Oh, how great thou art. Oh, how great thou art.
Thank you, Lord.
Then sings my soul.
Us to understand who we really are in Christ Jesus, that we are born of his Spirit. He bears witness that we've become a child of God. And it's our noble relationship with heaven. It's our noble relationship with the kingdom of God that makes us powerful in this world, that takes away all the fear. That's what Jesus constantly was reminded of. He constantly was knowing who he was, that he was not of this world. And he says the same things about you who have received Jesus Christ into your life. And it's that knowledge that's the difference between being powerless or being powerful. And in these last days, the enemy is going to try to confuse you. He'll do anything he can to keep you earth conscious, body conscious, self-conscious before you're spirit conscious. But God wants you to be spirit conscious. Hallelujah. That's who we are. So shake hands with about 20 people and say, you're not of this world. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you've been challenged and empowered. For more information about the church, go to bethany-ag.org.